turn in your Bibles to John 21 with me and verse 15. John 21 and verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. Our Father, we come to your word. We thank you for the voices that were raised in singing these glorious hymns that remind us of the first advent of our Lord. And Lord, as we ponder the second, Lord, we pray that your people would be prepared. There were not many who were found when he first came. But, O Lord God, we are told that he's coming for a people of every tongue, every tribe, every nation. We pray that we would be found among those ones, those many. And yet, though there are many, they're just a remnant in comparison to the vast multitude that ever lived on this earth. Lord, may we be found as one of your people. And may we, week by week, when we hear your word preach, make our calling and election sure. May the men of God that labor here also be assured of themselves, and that we do not labor in vain. Lord, we bring these things before your throne this night. We thank you for the gifts of your people and for sustaining this work through the years. We marvel at how you have kept us even in these dark moments, and we praise your holy name. Help us now in the word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we have come to the very last section, paragraph, in the Gospel of John. It has been 3 years now since I've been in this book. I remember preaching one of these messages at Lusaka when I was in John chapter 6, and that was some time ago. And nevertheless, we have come to the end of the chapter, and we always wonder where we're going to go next. But I pray the Lord will direct us. Remember, I said that Jesus not only dealt with his disciples in a group setting. He did this a lot, but he dealt with some individually. We saw he dealt with Martha, didn't we? We saw he dealt with Thomas. And now we see him dealing with Peter. Jesus is the good shepherd. And many people today do not understand biblical church life. They have no clue. We came up in an environment, a Caribbean environment, where anything goes. And we were taught this, where pastors tolerate anything. And then God opened the eyes of a couple people and showed them that is not biblical church life. And you begin to teach biblical church life what you have been taught graciously by men that love you and that minister to you. But people still do not understand what is biblical churchmanship. They haven't come to understand the role of a church member. As that church member relate to their officers and fellow members of the church. There is no higher institution. There is no more treasured relationship on earth outside of marriage than the church and the believer's relationship to the church and Christ's relationship to the church. As a matter of fact, he likens it like the husband and wife relationship. And it means we ought to be careful how we treat the body of Christ. How we treat the body of Christ is a reflection on how we treat the Lord Jesus. And it is a gauge whether we are Christians or not. You hear me say this many times. If you leave your marriage alone for any time, it would go sour. One year I was in Zimbabwe when the church was being erected, and I know Marcel don't want me to say, and I was very much consumed on the building. And when I got back, she wrote me a 2-page letter telling me off. seem as though you're more interested in the building than you're interested in me. And that was correct. Anytime you leave your marriage unnoticed, it will fall apart. Anytime you leave your church unnoticed, your relationship with God is done. Here Jesus gives attention to one of his disciples who was despondent because of what he did earlier. Peter may have felt that the Lord couldn't pardon him. You remember? I'm going fishing. Remember we shared that? But Jesus, as the good shepherd, shows his care for the sheep. You and I, if you are in the diaconate, should have this care for your people. Not only me, you should have it for your people. After the catch of fish, the disciples were invited to dine with the Savior. Now, this was early in the morning based on the previous context where we are told in verse 3 that they toiled all night and caught nothing. We are told when morning had come, Jesus stood on the shore. Maybe the Lord didn't even sleep that night as he watched them toiling. And he was there on the shore waiting for them to come. Therefore, verse 15 that we started at is a resumption from where we left off last time. And here we see Jesus prepared meat. James Montgomery Boyce said he prepared breakfast for the disciples. Jesus practiced what he preached. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give himself a ransom for many. Luke tells us in Acts 1 that he is recording what Jesus taught and what he did. What we teach should match what we do for others in the church. The Lord knew that his disciples were hungry, having toiled all night, and he prepared something for them. And the Lord is practical, and the pastor should be practical, and the church members should be practical. He was not aloof like some of you. But we want to focus on Peter's relationship with Jesus. We want to focus on his relationship with other disciples. And we want to focus his relationship with the Word of God. Those three things. It's all here this evening. First, Peter's relationship with Jesus, verses 15 through 17. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said it unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? He said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, Four times, Feed my sheep. Loving Jesus reflect on him on feeding God's people. Four times, if you love me, feed my sheep. And it should say something to you if you are sheep. You should be in a place where you will be fed. It's a command from Jesus. Brethren, to understand the question Jesus asked Peter, one would have to look at the word love carefully. And you hear me say this about six times already, because this is not the first time I was in this epistle, in this gospel. You know, as early as when I first started coming here to this church preaching, I shared this passage of scripture. There are two words that are being used that are translated in your English Bible, love. Two words. The word our Lord uses to Peter is the highest form of love one can have. Verse 15. This love is the word agapo. It is the love that the Lord has for his people. That's the word that he's using. It is the love the Lord's people must express back to him. This is why Jesus is asking the question. This is the word the Lord used when he asked Peter, "Do you love me more than these?" Notice how Jesus addressed Peter. He addressed him as the son of Jonah, or Jonas, the Greek word. This is how he addressed Peter when he first met him. You may remember this. When Andrew brought him to Jesus in John 1:42, "Thou art Simon, son of Jonas, but thou shalt be called Peter." Jesus, who gave him that name? But Jesus didn't call him by that name. Peter had become transformed from a small, insignificant person to a stone. Here in this context, the Lord is reminding Peter of his humanness, saying, "Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me more than these?" Apparently, Jesus was referring to the other disciples, not the fish. Peter is being called to remember the self-confident words he used back in John 13 in the upper room when he said, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake." The Lord responded to this in verse 38 back then. "Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily I say unto you, the cock shall not crow till you deny me three times." Watch what you say, Peter. Watch your arrogance. These words probably stunned Peter, reminding him of his own weakness as Jesus met with him here. He remembered that. He had to remember that. It occurred just days earlier. Here he is asked, "Do you love me more than these other disciples?" Now, some commentators you pick up, I don't know where to get this rubbish from. That's why you have to be careful what you read and what you bring here. They assume that Jesus was referring to the fish. "Do you love me more than these fish?" But that does not make sense. And it doesn't fit the context that began all the way back in John chapter 13. According to James Montgomery Boyce, who I trust a little more, said that Peter was asked, "Do you love me 100%? Peter was responded by saying, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you as a friend, 60%. He uses the word filio. Peter said, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." It's not agape. It's filio. "Yes, Lord, you know I like you, like a friend. I like you." Couldn't dare say I love you. Poor fella. It's like me. is not able to say, yes, Lord, I love you 100%. He had learned that he is incapable of loving the Lord in this manner, in his own strength. The Lord knew how Peter boasted in the upper room. Before the day was over, Peter was swearing that he didn't know the Lord Jesus. Before the day was done, we are weak. He remembers his pride and could not respond with the stronger word for love, but only could muster, yes, Lord, you know I like you as a friend, 60%. The Lord said it the second time using the same word, agapo. Saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas. He reminds him again of his humanness. Lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yeah, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. Peter could not say, yes, Lord, I love you 100%. The third time the Lord comes down to Peter's level. In verse 17, he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter, do you like me like a friend? He comes down to his level. Brethren, take your interlinears, brethren, and check what I'm saying out yourself. Don't trust me. Go to work. Peter, do you like me? Filio. He used filio. The scripture says Peter was grieved. He got the message. Because he said to him the third time, lovest thou me? He said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him the fourth time, feed my sheep. Peter has come to the place where we all must come. He was humble. To be grieved is to be sorry for what we did. Peter was not angry. He saw his inability to love the Lord perfectly. He recalls the fall he took earlier. And say, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. He reminds the Lord of what he said in the upper room. Remember you said to me that before the cock crow, I will deny you three times. You know all things. We should ever be mindful of the words of the psalmist. Search me, O God, and know my thoughts today. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Some of you can't pray that prayer. You know why? Because the Lord will see wickedness in us. And we may not want to be led to the way of correction. We can't pray this prayer like David. Search me, O Lord. Because obviously if the Lord searched us, he would find wickedness. But he didn't end there. And lead me to the way of life. Change me. This is a lesson. We must never be boastful in what we would do and what we would not do. One time I warned a man in this church about dropping a young lady home. He said, that would never happen to me. This is okay. Okay if it would never happen to you. If you are mighty, to be caught going down a dark road with a young woman much younger than you. I am encouraging you, man, watch what you're doing. You will never find me in a back alley with Louise in my front seat. It just don't look right. And you know how some people would see her first, she's stepping out of my car in the back alley. And some men can't understand this. They boast of what they wouldn't do. You see this here? Flesh. Never boasts of what this would do. Take it from me. It is only the Lord's mercy that keeps us from betraying Him every day. If the Lord has enabled us to love Him, we cannot boast, but give Him thanks. Notice how the Lord calls on Peter all three times to express the love for him in feeding his sheep. Verse 15, feed my sheep. Verse 16, feed my sheep. Verse 17, feed my sheep. Peter learned so much from the Lord that Peter writes to the elders of the church in Ephesus, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock which is among you, taking the oversight thereof by constraint, not willingly, not for filthy lucre, but a ready mind. But let me tell you something quickly about feeding. Feeding the flock also called for examining the flock. If you are feeding a flock, as a shepherd, you have to look and see if the flock is ingesting the food. If Angela was feeding her baby and the baby was vomiting up the food that you give her, what would you do, Angela? Talk that the others can hear you. If you was feeding Liz Mercy and she was bringing up the food, Miguel, you know, you look like a doctor. What would you do? Clean. You'll clean it. Yeah. Well, you better find a doctor. Clean it, but make sure you find a doctor. Don't try to be smart, you know. You know where I'm going. That's where I'm going. And if I'm a shepherd and I'm feeding people and I'm seeing them bringing it up all the time, they need a doctor. Not Dr. DiStefano, but the great physician. And some of you are like that. Feeding requires examining to see, unless you're wasting your food. If my wife was to call me for steak and potatoes, and I eat the steak and potatoes and vomit it up, what has that accomplished? So listen to what I'm saying carefully. Before you and I can rightly have dealings with others, we must first have dealings with our relationship with the Lord Jesus. You and I are not in a position to boast. That's my first point. The Lord, Peter's relationship with the Lord Jesus. Verse 18 and 19 close out that sequence saying, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Now these words, of course, speak of how Peter would die. Peter would become an old man. At least he get that promise. He will get old, Peter. And he would be led to the slaughter, just like his Lord did. And some of you may have read the history, or you might have read Josephus, who tell us that Peter was crucified, and because he didn't want to be crucified like the Lord Jesus, he was crucified with his head down, upside down. You probably read that, but I would just mention that in passing. And Peter was slaughtered. So having seen Peter's relationship with the Lord, let's look at Peter's relationship with the disciples, other disciples, 22:22. Let me read it to you. And Peter turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith unto Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? And Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. The Lord and his dealings with Peter seem to be an open affair, as I can see here, before the other disciples to hear. Jesus told Peter the death he would die in glorifying God. But Peter is concerned about another disciple who was close to Jesus. He asked the Lord, what about him? But by the way, brethren, this is a problem. Many have this problem in the church. What about this one? How come you speak to me in such a manner concerning my relationship with you? What about her? What about him? I have heard this a lot. And by the way, many people assume that this other disciple is John. And I said to you, be careful. Be careful. You might be wrong. There are other men who think that it was another disciple. As a matter of fact, there are other men who think that John is not even in the fray. Period. We assume that this disciple that Jesus loved is John. And it was John that was leaning on. But you don't have no assurance of that. Show me in the Bible where you see that. And this man that write this whole book, Brother Depple, you remember saying that it was Lazarus. You read that book. Yeah, you know what I'm saying. That's why we have to be careful. If the Bible doesn't call a name, you and I have no business calling a name or making an assumption. The other disciple, that's all you should be satisfied with. Whoever he is that was leaning on Jesus, we don't know. And this guy, Brother Othniel, gave six paths in John's gospel, from John's gospel, showing it wasn't John. Six paths in his study. I think there were more. But I'm not going to say anything else. But I'm just saying, when you come to preach and the Bible isn't clear in calling a name, don't call a name. And a word to the wise is always sufficient. But here we're looking at how Peter related to this disciple. We're not to worry about other disciples. We're not to worry about another servant. It is not our business how the Lord glorifies himself in his people, in his saints. Some may have a long life of service. Others may have a short life. Some may have a life of ups and downs. Others may not. The Lord answered Peter admirably, but with a rebuke. In verse 22, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? Your business is to follow me. He rebuked him. These were sharp words. And at times we need to hear sharp words from the Lord or from the preacher. At times when the word of God comes to us in the setting of public worship or a Bible study, it is not our business to worry about others. It is our business to worry about ourselves. Let preachers preach. You and I are to follow the Lord Jesus. We all have our own rough edges to sharpen, brethren. I got mine, you got yours. God has placed us in the church for us to see those rough edges. And Peter was getting his sharpened. And I find that many of us are ever ready to get offended instead of seeking to grow up. Iron sharpens iron. So man sharpens the countenance of his friend. That's the church. And as Jesus mingles with them, he's sharpening this one. Charlie, when we meet together as men, we're being sharpened. And some of you get pretty offended when certain personal matters come out. So we see 2 points. Peter's relationship with the Lord Jesus. Peter's relationship with the disciples. Peter turned around and saw another disciple following and asked about him. You know, if you look around and see fellow brethren, by the way, following the Lord Jesus, it should be sufficient motivation for you to follow him too. Do what they're doing. John said, I have no greater joy than to see my children walking in the truth. Come to our third and final heading this evening, Peter's relationship with the Lord's word. In these verses, we see how easy it is to twist God's word. Verses 23 to 25. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die. But if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? The saying went out that the disciple Jesus spoke of would not die. If you read the context, Jesus never said that. The text says, yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die. But if I will that he tarry, he wait till I come, what is that to thee? It may have been another person than Peter who went out with this news. But it is a lesson for us. And that is, at times, you and I ought to be careful that we are not adding to what the Lord say. A simple word that you add can throw off a whole meaning of a teaching. The cults are noted for this, adding or subtracting from the Bible. But some Christians can twist the Bible to make it seem as though it is saying something when it is not. And it's only one word that changed the complexity of the word of God that was spoken by Jesus. A good example is the verse that say that God is not willing that any should perish. And many take that verse to teach universal salvation and belittle those who teach the sovereignty of election. They condemn us because we don't take that verse like that. God is not willing that any of his elect perish. Not any in the world, but that all come to repentance. They twist the word of God. There are many other verses that men have twisted. You only have to add a drop of strychnine in a glass of milk, and you have poison. You only have to add a word to a text, and you have error. And that's why the Bible says, let not many of you be teachers. And women especially, woe unto them. If you and I don't know what the Lord has said, we are to ask for help. James tells us, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. And he shall give him, James 1:5. But on a personal level, this text, this head, Peter and his relationship to the word of Jesus. There are many church splits. And unnecessary church splits. And there are many departures of members from churches because one person went out from among us and twists what was said. And this has happened here. If this can happen with Jesus' disciples, it can happen to us. People leave and go and say, you hear what the pastor said? And the pastor didn't say anything like that. Just a word, they change. Sometimes it's amazing. Sometimes my sister Patty's crazy. She's going to tell me something that I said I didn't say. Some announcement that was made, and she got it all wrong. And Charlie, you better be careful with that too. Giving out misinformation. Especially ecclesiastical misinformation. Ecclesiastical is another big word for church, Brother Godfrey. Church information. You hear what was announced? It's wrong. I would encourage you to keep your mouth shut. And this one word, this disciple, whoever went out and said, you hear that disciple ain't going to die. Jesus never said that. It's a warning to us on a personal level. Verse 24 says, this is the disciple which testified of these things and wrote these things. And we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did. The which, if there should be written, everyone, I suppose that even the world itself cannot contain the books that should be written. And this is what we have, brethren, before us. I didn't spend a long time tonight in this conclusion, but this is what is before us. I trust that these exhortations would help you in your relationship with Jesus. In your relationship with other believers, in your relationship with the word that is spoken, don't go out and say something that wasn't said. May these words help you. But the question asked to Peter is our question this evening. How would you measure your love for Jesus? Is it 100%? Is it 60%? Is it 10%? Is it any percent at all? He's asking you and me the same thing. I trust that you can answer these words in a humble manner. Peter's question is our question. How would you measure your love? You may not be called to feed God's sheep. But you may be called to be fed. If your love for anyone's love for anyone else overshadow the love you have for Jesus, you don't love him. And let me tell you, and it is possible that my love is overshadowed by a love for somebody else. And that's why Jesus, do you love me more than these? Whoever the these are or the this is. It's possible that you can give attention to others. That the attention belongs to the Lord. And the Lord comes to us. Peter was called by name. He was called to remember his old nature. Simon, son of Jonas, remember who you are by nature. Remember the flesh. Remember, you need me. Brethren, we're children of the flesh. We must remember that. If we're Christians, we have a new nature. But we're being asked this question, do you love me more than anything else? If we love him, we would obey him. Four times, feed my sheep. Peter was able, many years later, to write to elders, to pastors, feed the flock. Not for money, but willingly. Peter. Then he turns around and he commands me to feed God's people. And this is what I endeavor to do for my love for the Lord Jesus. To feed God's people. Some may not be able to answer in the affirmative. But that's not a problem. Many of us can say what Peter said. Lord, you know all things. You know all things, Lord. You know my lack of love for you. You know. Help me. If you and I love the Lord Jesus, he also have a word for us. Peter was an apostle. He was a teacher. You and I may not be, you can be an apostle, but you may not be a teacher. But we are no less important to the Lord as he deals with us. We may not be called to feed sheep, but we are all called to follow him. That's what he said the last time. Follow me. That's what we are called to do. And this ends the Gospel of John. And it has been a pleasure to share these words with you. I trust they have been a pleasure for you to listen to, Brother Presley. And I'm finished for this evening. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, help me to show love to you by how I respond to the people you have given to me. Help our fellow brethren to show love to you in how they respond to the people. And help us to show love for each other, all, and for you. As we follow you, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.